Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike. Do you have a question about your health? Dr. Mike can answer your questions. Just email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call now 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
So remember, you can send detailed questions, vague questions. You can tell me your name or not, tell me not to say your name or whatever. You can even ask me to read your question and answer it on a certain day, and I will do my best to do that. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com. Here's a question from Diane. My anxiety level is very high. I feel stressed out all the time. My NP, and probably that means naturopathic doctor, checked a morning and evening cortisol level, and both were low. Any thoughts before I go to see her? So cortisol is the stress hormone, right? It comes from the adrenal gland. And it peaks in the morning. There's a substantial peak of cortisol in your blood around sunup. I mean, it makes sense, right? Cortisol kind of prepares you to get moving. That's what it does. You know, we think whenever we say stress hormone, most people think bad things. No. Stress is good. And waking up from a nice, peaceful sleep is stressful, but it's good. You're getting up. Cortisol it peaks and it helps to mobilize sugar for energy, and it releases the catecholamines, the epinephrines, the norepinephrine, so it just gives you this, what's known as a sympathetic drive, so you're just getting your day ready. Some of us need some coffee help too, but that's what cortisol is supposed to do for us. So it peaks in the morning. And then it should trail off, should come down. Kind of find like a valley for most of the day. And then there's usually for most people a slight little peak, maybe half what you see in the morning, around evening time. And then it drops off fairly quickly. Once cortisol drops, things like melatonin and serotonin increase. Those are the feel good and calm you down hormones. I just threw my pen. Maybe I need some serotonin. Anyway, I get excited when I talk. It's the Greek in me. I can't help but use my hands. So cortisol drops in the PM. The calm you down hormones go up because it's time to go to bed. So that's how it's supposed to be. There should be a morning peak and maybe a slight evening peak. And apparently for Diane, that didn't happen. She checked her doctor. Rightfully so, checked a PM, AM and PM cortisol, and they're both just low. Which, by the way, before I go on here, Diane, your doctor did a great job. It is better to do cortisol twice, an AM and PM blood draw. I mean, I know that's harder, and it makes your day tough, I guess, but to check just a random cortisol, you know, most people, I guess, when they do blood work, they usually go in the morning, but just to check a random cortisol level is not going to tell you much. So the AM and PM is better. But in this case for Diane, she's anxious, she's stressed out. You know, you would get the idea. You might think to yourself, oh my gosh, cortisol is going to be sky high in her all the time, right? But in this case, it's low. Well, here's what happens. I mean, remember, cortisol is considered the stress hormone, but that doesn't necessarily mean bad stress like anxiety. It means that cortisol is the hormone that prepares your body to deal with the stressor. So you can still have low cortisol and be anxious because anxiety and stuff like that have many different causes, multifactorial. It's not just cortisol linked. As a matter of fact, if you've been living most of your adult life stressed out and anxious, not sleeping well, and day in and day out, you know, one year to the next, your adrenal glands get wiped out. I mean, in the alternative medicine arena, we call that adrenal fatigue. You know, it's not total, you know, dysfunctional adrenal gland like you see in Cushing's disease, That's different. I mean, that's a total knockout of the adrenal. But in this case, this constant, day in and day out, week to week, month to month, year to year stress, it causes your adrenal glands to dysfunction a little bit. And they become fatigued. So they're not regulating. Not only is cortisol kind of being mismanaged, so you're not peaking cortisol the way you should, you're also probably not dealing with the catecholamines. Maybe they're just getting released too much. Maybe that's driving some of the anxiety. The adrenal glands basically just lose the ability to control all these hormones that they're making. And that's not good, because these hormones and neurotransmitters that come from the adrenal glands are quite powerful. So if your adrenal glands are a little fatigued, Diane, all these hormones can get a little wacky. Cortisol drops, epinephrine's up all the time. Yeah, I mean, those are consistent signs of adrenal fatigue. So, and I'm pretty sure your naturopathic doctor is most likely really on top of adrenal fatigue. Diane, I don't think that she's going to look at those numbers and know exactly what to do for you. But you might consider a 24-hour urine cortisol test. That's the more detailed. So the best way to check cortisol, the bad way is just to do cortisol in the morning. That's it. The best way, the second best way would be what you did, cortisol in the morning, cortisol in the evening. The best way is a 24-hour urine collection looking for cortisol. That really tells you what you're doing throughout the day. So you might want to do that. I mean, I might suggest that, but licorice extract is good for adrenal fatigue, DHEA, which is a hormone, vitamin B5, pantothenic acid. It's good. CoQ10, even some adaptogenic herbs like rhodiola, American ginseng, pretty good for adrenal issues. So I'm sure your naturopathic doctor will be ready to set you up on a good adrenal support program. But so the cortisol levels are low and you're still anxious, that's adrenal fatigue in a nutshell. Great question. Thank you, Diane. I hope you feel better soon. All right, moving on. I understand there's I got to take this out of my binder here because I can't see. I understand there's a better test for sugar problems than hemoglobin A1C. Do you know what it's called? You know, they change these things all the time. There's new inventions and new tests, and so I had to look this one up. And I did find one here. There is a new sugar test. It tests for something called 1,5-AG. And AG stands for anhydroglucosyl. Anhydroglucosyl. 1,5-AG. It's a glucose-like sugar. Okay? And it gives us a better understanding specifically of sugar spikes. You know, that's, you really think about it, that the post-meal, the official terminology for that is postprandial, but post-meal sugar spike. So you eat, okay, let's just say a donut. Okay? You eat a donut. Within, what, like 30 minutes or so, once you've digested the donut, the sugars have entered your bloodstream, your blood sugar levels just spike big time. And when your blood sugar levels spike, say, over like a level of about 200, that causes some issues, especially if you're doing that day in and day out, right? You're spiking blood sugar levels at a high number every single meal, day in and day out. That causes insulin spiking. Insulin spiking eventually is going to cause something called insulin resistance, which is the hallmark of type 2 diabetes. So knowing really how you're doing meal to meal is important, and apparently this is what this new test does. I don't think this replaces hemoglobin A1C. That gives you an idea of how much sugar is in your blood for about a 3-month period, because sugar glycosylates the hemoglobin, so we can measure that, and it's a sign of not controlling it very well for months down the line. This is more about a blood sugar spiking per meal, and you want the number to be higher, actually. 14 is ideal. Less than 10 tells us we're having too many sugar spikes. So yeah, there is a new test, 1,5-AG for sugar spikes. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.